Sean Verano, you study police law enforcement and police interactions with the public. What strikes you most about this incident?
What strikes me most is the confluence of circumstances that really came together in time and space between a individual who stole a police cruiser, the police discovery of a white truck that was driving erratically right around the same time, the white truck that was driving erratically that decided to flee, and then the person that decided to flee being the person that was not originally wanted. All of these situations really came together in bad timing, in time and space, that were part of producing a very bad outcome to this, to, you know, this event.
What questions remain unanswered for you in this case?
One of the primary questions that really emerges is, why did this individual flee from the police to begin with? We do unfortunately find that in more than a few circumstances, people with relatively minor warrants or not necessarily serious legal issues facing them, for a variety of reasons, run from the police, flee from the police under these kind of circumstances. But that is really the most pressing situation, or the pressing question right now, is why did this individual flee?
Are there any typical signifiers or signposts that precipitate the use of deadly force or provide the context that deadly force is found to be considered reasonable?
Well, again, I mean, in these events, what the legal system is trying to conclude is, again, not through a hindsight vision, not in this sort of ex post facto way, going back to triage this event and seeing, what do we know now, but viewing the situation through the lens of the officers on the scene, what they knew, what they had reasonable access to, what kind of information, what kind of intermediary tactics that they use. So it's really very much viewed through the lens of that event, what was known and what should have been known. And I really think that's the primary question. What was known, what should have been known, what circumstances were presenting themselves, and in such a quick shift of event, was a alternative resolution possible or reasonable?
We're speaking with Sean Verano, a professor of criminal justice at Roger Williams University. Were you surprised, having seen the footage, to see the number of officers that were involved in the incident on the ramp and the amount of shots that were fired?
There is no right or wrong amount of resources. When you have too few resources, that's wrong. The general rule of thumb is the more assets you can mobilize, the better. So the number of officers, the number of cars in the chase doesn't strike me as inherently problematic or surprising, and nor do, unfortunately, the number of shots fired. I mean, it's less about the number of shots fired. And so even though it may be a shock to the conscience, to the public, nothing about the number of officers and or the number of shots. You either have a situation where deadly force is justified or not.
This incident has raised questions about policies involving high-speed chases. Is that worth questioning as we go forward, the way that police initiate chases?
Absolutely. I mean, I think many departments over the past 30 years have been reflective on the circumstances that justify a high-speed chase. The reality is high-speed chases can often result in substantial negative outcomes to the person being chased, to the officer chasing the person, and or an uninvolved third party. So, again, whether or not the chase would have been continued absent the background circumstances of the potential stolen cruiser, it's really hard to know because I'm not aware of the exact circumstances under which the original officer engaged that vehicle. But certainly we should always be, police department should always be encouraged, after events, figuring out, even if we were justified in the force that we used, is there always a better way to do it?
In your estimation, how do you feel the Providence Police and the State Police have handled the follow-up to this incident?
Well, this is a crisis event. And in a time of a crisis event, you need leadership, not a leadership structure that buries events or pushes the public away, but that says, listen, we have multiple competing interests at the table here. We have an active investigation. We have a woman in the hospital. We have somebody who has unfortunately died. But the orientation should be, how much information can we release? while protecting the integrity of our investigation. And sometimes there's no answer to that. What I think is commendable on the part of both the state police and the city of Providence is a commitment within a relatively short period of time to making all the DOT video footage available. The commissioner of public safety saying, you know, we do have police body cams that were involved in this. So even just the acknowledgement of that, the chief, along with the commissioner saying, you know, we will make the body cams available on this timeline. And my understanding is has made some of that footage available already. Considering the totality of the circumstances, they've done a commendable job as with being as transparent within just a few days of the event itself.
Sean Verano, professor of criminal justice at Roger Williams University, thank you very much for sitting down and talking with us.
Thank you.